Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Welcome to the Customer Experience Optimization Talk Show. I'm your host, Lynn Hunsaker, Head of Clear Action, helping you clear the way for organization-wide action to improve customer experience and your bottom line. Visit our website at clearactioncx.com for worksheets and articles, podcasts and webcasts, and to request customer experience solutions customized to your specific challenges. The Customer Experience Optimization Show features universal tips on the customer's perspective of keeping brand promises. Today's topic is the anatomy of a customer experience team. And today I'm joined with Ingrid Lindberg, the head of the Chief Customer Consulting, and you can see her website at chiefcustomer.com. Hello, Ingrid. How are you today?
Hi, Lynn. I'm well. How are you today?
Just fine. So you've been a chief customer officer in some major organizations. Can you give just a little background on how you came into the customer experience field?
Sure. So about 20 years ago, I was working in a contact center, and I literally walked into our CIO's office one day, and I said, you know, the system that we're using is really bad. Could we make these changes? Because if we make these changes, it would be easier for us to use. I didn't understand what I was starting at that moment, but I spent the next several years really learning how to do design and understanding usability a little bit more, and started to realize pretty early on that it wasn't just about the human-to-computer interaction. So I started dallying in all sorts of other channels, and before I knew it, I was working in what is now referred to as customer experience. So, good 20 years ago, but oh, what a long, strange trip it has been.
Well, that's fabulous. It's always interesting to hear what people's path has been. I think it's they're varied. There's no one single path for the customer experience field. Is that what you're also noticing, Ingrid?
I think that is so true. There's a whole myriad of paths that people have taken to get to be a customer experience practitioner, but there's one thing that we all seem to have in common, which is a pretty significant passion for doing what's right for the customer. So that's our unifying force, right, Lynn?
It definitely is, and all the customer experience folks I've run into are just the nicest people in the world. I started in this field about 20 years ago, too, Ingrid. It was in 1991 that I was asked to be head of a task force that spanned many countries and product divisions to create a customer satisfaction methodology. And that was part of the TQM initiative that my company was undergoing. It was a Fortune 250 company at the time, and I had been doing customer interviews in person all around the country as part of the PIMS, or Profit Impact of Marketing Strategy, feed into our corporate strategy each year. So that's how I got my start on it, and it's been a really fabulous experience. I love this field. So Ingrid, thinking about all of the things you've observed over this time, what do you believe should be the objective or the mission or the primary role of a customer experience team?
You know, Lynn, I think, and I've learned a lot of this through default, right? So you try something, it doesn't work. You try something again, you figure out what works best. But after having three pretty major CXO roles now, what I really have rallied around is the role of a customer experience team is really around, I would say, number one, building the strategy. You have to have a customer experience strategy, and that customer experience team should build it and drive it. I think number two, it really, their role is to teach an organization how to listen. I think that way too often we create kind of voice of customer teams, and they hold that information and they don't share it. And I think one of the most important roles of a customer experience team is to teach the entire organization how to listen to the voice of the customer. And then number three, it really is about culture change. You know, we're hearing more and more people start to talk about employee engagement as a primary driver of customer experience. And that's something that I've been practicing and have known for a really long time, that you have to inculcate customer experience into an organization. And that inherently is culture change. So that culture change plus teaching an organization how to listen plus building that strategy and driving it, those are what I see as the three kind of big driving forces that a customer experience team has to have as their accountability. How about you, Lynn?
Well, likewise. I agree wholeheartedly with that. I like to sum it up as facilitators. If customer experience teams view themselves as facilitating customer-centered thinking and doing across the company, then you're in the right direction for sure. And I think that along with that, you're talking about the culture change. Facilitation needs to be about transformation of the company more than transformation of the customer. And I think that's a common place where the assignment of the customer experience role can get confused from the get-go. Have you seen that too, Ingrid?
Oh, I totally agree. I think it was summed up very nicely. I was giving a speech, which, as you know, Lynn, I do an awful lot. And this woman raised her hand at the end of the speech and asked a question, and it was It was a little bit more in the frame of a comment. And she said, well, Ingrid, not everyone is out there trying to transform a company under customer experience. And I said, well, then I wouldn't call it practicing customer experience. I'd call it process improvement. Because when I think about customer experience and what customer experience truly is, there is an element of that transformation that has to be there. You know, and I mean, there's a couple examples of companies that probably don't need a transformation, but those companies are pretty far and few between, and it's, you know, it's the ones that we always hold up and say, wow, look at them, they're great. And I'll tell you, even those companies have people who are always driving and transforming and innovating. So I'm with you, Lynn. It's, a lot of people get stuck from the get-go because they think it's just process improvement, but it's a lot bigger than that.
Well, yes. I know that people love this idea of outside-in thinking and viewpoints, and that's a lot of the reason why we do CRM and VOC and customer advisory boards and all this other. But you know, you got to acknowledge, I think, that to be truly outside in, it's much more than your touch points and your customer-facing people. It's actually making the whole mindset of your people across your company customer-centered so that what they do anticipates and provides greater value to customers and prevents surprises for customers. And I think that that really goes a long way with the mission of the customer experience team.
Very true, very true.
Now, how would you recommend somebody to set up a CX team, or who should they report into? That should be maybe the first question. What would be ideal for a customer experience team reporting?
You know, I'm a firm believer that if you're serious as a company about this, then you should treat this role as seriously as you treat your chief operating officer or your chief marketing officer or your chief financial officer. Because once again, no customer, no cash, right? And no cash, there's really no need for a CFO or a COO or a CMO for that matter. So I really do believe that CXOs should be sitting at that executive table and be a direct report to the CEO. And I found kind of time and time again from a lot of people that I work with and coach that if they're not directly reporting to the CEO, they tend to be viewed as a project of whichever C-suite executive they happen to be reporting to. So, for example, if you are, you know, within a marketing organization or within the service operations organization, customer experience really kind of gets pigeonholed to be it's a marketing thing or it's a customer service thing. And as you know really well, customer experience is every heart, every mind, every person in that organization, and every interaction you have with your customers, whether it's B2B or B2C or whatever the setup is. And I think that if you don't have that direct reporting relationship, most of the time people just aren't as successful. And it's a role that really should be temporary, right? You come in, you make the transformational change, you lead it, right? You lead the organization through the change waves, and then you should leave, right? And I think that the biggest impact people seem to be the most successful when they're sitting at that CEO table. How about you?
Oh, yes. You've got to embed customer experience excellence throughout the company. When it becomes a way of life in the fabric of your company, then it can carry on. And it really does require all hands on deck, because I think that there's a ripple effect of anybody's handoffs and decision-making, no matter what their role is in the company, has an impact on the next people in the process, and the next people in the process, and ultimately snowballs to the touch point to the customer-facing staff, and certainly to the customer all too often. So I found that the companies who have experimented with making upstream organizations aware of their impact on the customer have found a lot more gratification and success in their customer experience goals. I totally agree that the seat at the C-team table is extremely powerful and ideal. And one of the things that was really interesting was I did a business-to-business customer experience practices study for 4 years. And one of the questions we had in there was, is customer experience a determinant of your corporate strategy, or a subset of your corporate strategy, or unrelated to your corporate strategy? And interestingly, the majority of people answered the last two options, and the minority of people answered it as being a determinant. However, when I looked at the companies that were showing the most revenue and other business benefits from their customer experience effort, most of those people were in the former, that they were viewing customer experience as an input, a strong determinant of what your corporate strategy should be. So that speaks volumes.
Oh, for sure. It's funny that you should say that, Lynn. I actually just released a blog today about the 5 steps to building a customer experience strategy. And the very first step in my methodology is truly understanding what your corporate strategy is. And one of the things that I have learned, and one of the kind of rules of the road that I abide by, is that customer experience shouldn't be the only strategy, but it definitely has to be one of the 3 main pillars of any good corporate strategy. So right along the same lines, isn't it funny how B2C and B2B have so many good overlaps?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so many things about customer experience that are universal to any type of interaction between humans, really, whether it be a government or nonprofit or consumer or industrial situation.
Very true, very true.
Tell me what you think is the ideal structure or the most effective structure for a customer experience team.
You know, so the very first customer experience team I built was back in 2005, so an awful long time ago. And I remember posting a job description for what I called a customer experience architect. And I was working for a Fortune 100 company at the time as their CXO, and our entire human resources and compensation department could not find a single match anywhere in the world for a customer experience architect. And that is almost one of the most foundational roles that I'm seeing most companies start with or lift up into as a part of their organization now, 10 years later. So it's always the anchor of my customer experience teams is a group of architects. And those are people that have user experience backgrounds, design backgrounds. You know, as we're getting more and more customer experience practitioners, I'm able to find more and more of those people. But that's kind of the group of people that I send in to help do that design within parts of the organization. So those are my embedded facilitators and leaders. I also always stand up a voice of customer program, right? And that's pretty small. I mean, I keep it pretty lean and mean. And that's the group that's it really has that job of listening and analyzing and keeping my customer experience architects really smart. They are the data junkies. They are the ones who have their finger on the pulse of what our customers are saying all the time, anytime. And, you know, they also make some pretty beautiful reports because, frankly, you still need those in this day and age in a lot of different companies. I also always stand up a usability group because you have to test what you're doing. You have to test your design and your theories. And don't think of usability as such a traditional function that only can apply to web. I turn that little usability group on, and it's doing A/B testing on marketing materials. It's doing A/B testing on different, you know, interactive voice response unit scripts, websites, all sorts of other things. And then last but not least, my kind of fourth pillar within my teams that I like to build is really around communications. And I always pull some people together that can both do internal customer communications, so the people who can help guide all of the people in an organization that are communicating with our customers, and an external group as well, because frankly, you know, it's good to be able to tell your stories to your customers and to your clients. It's good to be able to tell your stories to your employees. So it really is about communicate, communicate, communicate. So architects, voice of customer, usability, and communications. Those are my four pillars when I'm building a customer experience team.
All right. Very interesting. So Ingrid's background is more in the B2C, and my background is more in B2B. And I've always appreciated a customer experience team that is lean and mean with the eye toward this kind of obsoleting yourself in, to some degree, but I think that there will always be a little bit of infrastructure needed. For example, on a voice of the customer aspect of the customer experience team, I found that you usually need a point person to interface with the various listening posts that you have for customer experience and vendors that are helping you with that. But I also dovetailed that role with the customer experience improvement responsibility. And generally, two or three people dedicated to that works well when you have business unit champions in each line of business and account team and support functional area. Do you want to have your counterpart designated throughout the company, because those are the ones who are going to drive the customer experience improvements on a day-to-day basis and keep the continuity going with ownership at each organization. And what I'd like to also have this team do, if they have the bandwidth or maybe add another person, is go and sit with different functional areas, like you said, communications and human resources, the training, compensation, benefits, recognition, you know, various parts of the company, to engage them in adding the customer experience dimension and context to what they're doing. So it usually is a roadmap from very basic, easy hits from the very beginning, and then migrating to more sophistication quarter by quarter or year by year with all of these people in marketing and HR in particular, also other areas of the business, so that they become an extension of the customer experience team, but more dotted line or alliance oriented. And then finally, having a dotted line or some kind of direct reporting to these other areas, such as CRM, customer references, loyalty programs, all the different dimensions. You mentioned user experience and customer experience architect. I haven't really had much experience with that in the B2B world, but I think that there are certain industries where that would play a big role. So that's my experience. Is keep it lean and mean and engage people in whatever their job is, where they have the propensity to influence the company at large with some of the rituals and so forth, and help them to see the customer experience context of what they can do and become an ally.
Well, for sure. The lean and mean is music to my ears. It's always so funny because people will ask me, you know, how did you do that transformation at Amex or at Cigna or at any of those places? And I've never had a team that's purely customer experience in those four categories that's been larger than 10 people. even at companies where there were hundreds of thousands of employees or 37,000 employees, you know, I've always kept it right around that 10-person mark or lower, because realistically, you know, this is the group that is going to be the champion, it's going to be the leader, but this group doesn't really do any of that change work, right? It's about finding those partners in the organization, finding the champions in the organization, and frankly, finding those executive leaders who you can assign big things to that need to be fixed, and, you know, really holding them accountable to make the change, right, to make that change. So love the lean and mean, Lynn. That's awesome.
Well, I think that, you know, this recipe speaks to our opening comments about the objective of the CX team to transform the company, or to make the company really customer-centered, and to have it be a way of life.
Right, everything. Every person, every time, every interaction. It's funny because I'm known for giving a speech about 18 months into any job that I've got when I'm actually embedded fully in an organization. And that speech is kind of along the lines of, okay, so we've been talking about this for 18 months, and you now have an opportunity. You can choose to get on the bus if you haven't already, or you can choose to get off the bus if you don't believe in where we're going and what we're doing, but please don't make me take you off the bus. Just leave, right? Just leave. And I think that's something that we don't talk about nearly enough when it comes to organizational change, is this really is transformative work. And there are people who may have been working for a company for, you know, 2 months, 20 years, it doesn't matter, who don't necessarily like the direction that we're going when you become a customer-centered organization. And I think you just have to be pretty honest with them that it's okay, you can leave. You don't have to love this. You don't have to believe in it. But if you're going to continue to get a paycheck, you do have to do it.
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting because I taught college for a while. I was teaching introduction to business and introduction to marketing. And you know how in those textbooks, they're usually talking about economics and portfolios and stuff like that for the first several chapters. And then maybe chapter 12, they're talking about customer segmentation. So what I did a couple years into it was I put the customer segmentation is day one. Day one and day two, we're talking about how are there different expectations of customers that make them segments that you have, you know, you wouldn't really necessarily satisfy the same target audience as Carl's Jr. or Brady's versus McDonald's, right? They're different groups of people. And that was really powerful to start my business class that way. And I thought, gee whiz, what if we did that throughout all of business, where you start with the customer and then you see how portfolios and economics and everything else hangs on that. And I think that would be very revolutionary. But that's part of what we're trying to do with transforming the company, is to help them see that the customer is really the reason for existence. You know what, Ingrid, I forgot to suggest that one of our questions today should be what kind of skill set or toolkit should the customer experience team develop in order to be the most effective? Do you have some recommendations for the kind of things that they have know-how for?
You know, I think it depends on what the role is, Lynn, right? So I've learned with that architect role, right, so the people who go in and really help to design and define services and solutions and products, that group has to be, they have to be phenomenal facilitators. They have to be really good at helping to always articulate the voice of the customer in a room without being too arrogant. They have to really be great at, I call it creating the trail of breadcrumbs so that you can get everyone to come along, right? They're master negotiators, right? And never arrogant, very altruistic. It's kind of a very specific skill set that I look for that role. With my kind of voice of customer people, they are heads down, analytical. They can see stuff that I can never see. They're great patterners. They really just understand how to read the data. But even more importantly, they understand how to take it and lift it into stories that are compelling to help inspire, you know, employees and clients and, frankly, each other. You know, so I think there's lots of different skill sets. I think for a CXO, that is a talk show in and of itself, my friend, right? I mean, you've got people who are wild and crazy, and you've got people who are very staid and very serious, and both have been very successful. So I think a lot of that has to do with what culture you're trying to transform. I do think that a lot of it really is just a ton of tenacity. I call it the eternal whack-a-mole game, right? You come into work every day and you're playing the whack-a-mole game, but you have to have a lot of positive intent, regardless of role, to be successful in these roles.
I agree with that. I'm thinking about how we started this conversation today, where we're saying that so many people come from different paths into the customer experience field. And I think that actually can be a strength, because when you step back and think about it, a jack of all trades is quite an advantage in the customer experience role if you're trying to transform the organization, meaning that if you have some working knowledge and empathy for every functional area's realities within the company, those are your customers, they're your stakeholders that you're trying to guide to own the customer experience excellence. And
sure.
I found that, you know, it's usually rare to have an individual who knows everything, but across the team, if they collectively can represent change management, organizational learning, quality tools, quality analysis, knowing how to analyze things for patterns and so forth, facilitation skills, and you want to maybe gear up most of those across all of your CX team over time, ideally, but at least collectively to represent a lot of the organization can be a big bonus.
It's true. It really is. It's a maturing field, and I think, you know, there's a lot of truth in the fact that there are a lot of different paths that people have taken. I do think that as we continue to mature as a practice and as practitioners, one of the things that I'm very hopeful for is that we'll start to become a lot more systematic and a lot more focused in kind of repeatable, reliable patterns. I think sometimes we're a little wild westy, right? You know, everyone kind of just brings what they think might work to the table. So I think, you know, as we continue to mature, we're going to become a lot more standardized in approaches, a lot more pattern-driven, a lot less emotion-driven. But, you know, hey, we're still pretty new if you look at it. Finance has been around for an awful long time. Customer experience has not.
Well, I'm glad you brought up finance, because every manager that I've known has a fiduciary responsibility to the company. I mean, if you've got budget or you've got some kind of responsibility over resources, you have a responsibility to be wise with those resources. Is that not correct?
I agree.
Okay. And then think about people management. Every manager who supervises people also has a people responsibility. And yet, we wouldn't say that every manager in the company reports into finance or HR or is an expert in finance or HR, would you?
Exactly. But they all understand how they play.
But I think that there's a third leg to this stool. I think that every manager needs to realize that they have not only fiduciary and people responsibilities to the company, but also a customer experience responsibility. And this goes to the concept I shared a minute ago that everybody has a ripple effect on customers. Everyone has a ripple effect on people and resources or the financial well-being of the company. So if we view customer experience as a trifecta that way, I think it can help customer experience teams quite a lot.
Very possible, right? Very true. I think there's a lot of things that we ask leaders to be accountable for. And I think that customer is one that is very much becoming more and more one of those requirements, right? I'm very used to seeing brand as an accountability, finance as an accountability, human capital as an accountability. And I think we're getting much, much closer to seeing things like customers and accountability. So it is just a matter of time. We will continue to drive it there. Right, Lynn?
Well, I think it just makes pure sense when you really think about who pays for your salary, who pays for your budget, who actually makes the company possible. It's
no
actually not the HR group or the finance group, as much as they are critical legs
right.
of the stool.
Right.
Customers make it all happen. So
no
that's
customer,
where I'm
no
cash. I know I'm a little biased with my customer experience passion, but my rationale with this trifecta is more fundamental than that. I want to call attention to our listeners that we have an infographic that's kind of humorous that Ingrid and I co-created called The Anatomy of a CX Team, and you can find it on Ingrid's website, chiefcustomer.com, on her blog from October 5th, 2015, called Oh, How Far We've Come and How Far We Still Have to Travel. And you can also find it on the clearactioncx.com website at clearactioncx.com/customer experience team infographic with hyphens in between each word, customer experience team infographic. So we welcome you to download that and have a good chuckle about some of the funny things that happen to customer experience team members and some of the things we represent in maybe our best light and not so best light. Anything you'd like to say about that, Ingrid?
You know, it was just super fun, and I think it's a good thing for sometimes for us to be able to laugh at ourselves a little bit, especially as we're creating such a new practice and new roles. So I hope everyone enjoys it. I know I had an absolutely fabulous time putting it together with you, Lynn, and I've heard that everyone who's taken a peek at it has gotten a great giggle. So that's always important in our day-to-day, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in closing, Ingrid, do you have a craziest situation that you've seen with the CX team? Anything that comes
oh,
to life
goodness.
That's mind-boggling?
So many are displayed in that infographic, right? We have all sorts. I still think my absolute favorite of all time was I went in to work with a client, and there was this person who'd been put in charge of customer experience. And this was a pretty big company, and they had millions of customers, Lynn. And I asked him what his background was, and he was a finance analyst. He had been a finance analyst for the chief operating officer. They'd become really good friends, and so the COO knew that they needed to fill this kind of a customer experience role, so he put this really smart, really great finance guy into this role. And, he was really bright. He was a great guy, but he was so unbelievably wrong from a skill set background and understanding perspective. So, I've seen a lot of things like that, but how about you? Anything super funny where you just went, wow, that's not a match?
No, I don't know. I like your example. I think that's a good note to end on.
Everyone's good at something. It doesn't have to be customer experience. There you go, right?
That's right. Well, Ingrid, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you on this project, Anatomy of the Customer Experience Team. We had a lot of fun just throwing out some interesting angles on it in our infographic, and now we've been serious about it in this talk show, giving some practical advice to people. Anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, thanks so much for the opportunity. Always great to chat with you.
Well, great. I really appreciate it, too. And I'm your host, Lynn Hunsaker, Customer Experience Strategist and Head of Clear Action, Customer Experience Optimization Consulting. You can post comments on this talk show's main page or email either me or Ingrid about today's topic. And stay tuned for many great stories about customer-centric culture by clicking the follow button on the Customer Experience Optimization Talk Show page. Thanks again for joining us today on the Customer Experience Optimization Talk Show, and best wishes to you in optimizing customer experience.